Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, here to encourage you today. It is Wednesday morning, and our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so excited because today, joining me on this journey to encourage you, to inspire you, is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Love the beard, love the beard. Yeah. Woo! Yes, also the producer. Not only the man, but the Ed McMahon of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And guess who's joining us also this morning? All the way soon from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes, Lord.
Steve Kaluzewski.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. We are so excited about coming to you today. We'll give a shout out this morning to the super moms out there that are balancing such great, huge responsibilities. Give a shout out also to the super dads that are out there standing strong, leading your family in the ways of God, training your children in the way they should go. It is not in vain. It will be rewarded. Give a shout out to all of our new Facebook listeners this morning. We're so glad to have our Facebook fans out there this morning. Andy, welcome. Cindy, welcome. John, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Buddy, Kathleen, Hector, Clifford, Kenneth, Maria, Shane, Elijah, Lisa, Renee, all of our new Facebook listeners from around the world. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio. We're here to encourage you, and joining me on this journey this morning to encourage you on VFN Radio is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness. Let's try it again. You got to pull that duct tape off, man. What is up? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Also joining us this morning on the program is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And not only that, the one, the only, Stephen Kaluzewski.
Oh, my goodness.
A good morning salute to you, sir.
Good morning. Ooh, raw. Ooh, raw. We got the Marines with us today.
All right.
Isn't that amazing? We got the Marines. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
Got the Marines with us. Oh, my goodness. Well, I know that he has something in his heart we're going to be sharing a little bit today. So glad to have all of us together to encourage you, our listeners out there. You know, we lose some things yesterday in regards to prophetic words that we've kept, you know, and kind of just allowed all the pieces to kind of come together, because everybody knows in part and prophesies in part. And we had so many pieces of the puzzle that just came together for us recently, where when you put all, you know, you can look at a pile of pieces of puzzle, for example, and sometimes you can go, you know, I just really don't want to put that puzzle together, you know. You know, it doesn't look like that fits with this, and this fits with that, and,
right.
You know, and then, you know, then your grandchild says, oh, it's only 1,000 pieces. You know, it's like, let's just look at the top. See, the top looks just like what we're going to have. But, you know, in that, you know, we started seeing the pieces fit together, and we started seeing how planned. And we were leaders were gathered on a call from around the nation, and we began to talk. And all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of took over that phone call, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And all these pieces began to come together and formulate over just a rapid firing word of knowledge. I mean, just systematic you know, building of, and then there's other pieces that didn't even get put into this that even makes it more defined, which you can find it, you know, at the VFN Torch. But you got to hear this. You got to go to VFN TV and watch this. You got to watch it. You know, a lot of people love history. They're history buffs. You know, they want to, you know, they watch the History Channel with anticipation, like it's something's going to change, you know. But if you look at a prophetic word after it happens, it's history. And a lot of people do that, and they just come to you, yeah, I knew that. It's like, where were, if you knew that, where were you when you knew that, right?
Right. Exactly. Like, don't you tell me.
Yeah, the truth is they didn't know it. Right. Or they did know it, but they were terrified to tell you. And the worst thing they can do in the eyes of the Lord at that point is to start talking about what God told them. But like Ezekiel, he went, they didn't go. And he called that to be rebellious to God. You know, and so the pieces came together. I mean, all the way, you're going to hear, go to VFN TV, you got to see this. But you're going to hear not only, you know, for God does speak, you know, that's Job 33, where he tells us very specifically he speaks. And you're going to see just detail, even about the economy. You're going to find out wisdom about the economy. You're going to find out wisdom about, you know, our president and how God even spoke to these ministers prior to him becoming a president and what he was going to do and that he has done that. But there's other parts that he has that hasn't happened yet that's about to happen. And it's all going to happen if the church, it's all contingent upon the church doing what's right before God. You know, if we do what's right before God, things can turn and all these things that God, these warnings, you know, will not, it just won't happen. I mean, God's, you know, if he wanted to do something bad to us, he wouldn't warn us.
Right. That's right.
You know, father who didn't want to discipline his children, you know, would not bring it up. You know, he didn't want his children to turn. He wouldn't bring up, hey, by the way, if you don't change this behavior, he says this and this and this is going to happen. And the father actually hopes.
Well, that's the nature of a warning. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk to you about it. Right. I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to point to this thing because I really don't want to do this.
Right.
But the warning is just that, a warning. But if we don't heed it.
Right. Exactly. And so with that, you know, since we misunderstand discipline, we misunderstand the love of a father,
right,
we misunderstand warning, all of a sudden because God starts dealing with us and bringing our stuff up, we think God hates us. He's writing us off, and you got to, you know, is God, you know, is America under God's judgment is also in VFN TV. You've got to see that. And it's a good question to ask. You need to ask yourself, is America under God's judgment? Instead of saying, no, it's not. It's like if anybody just kind of shoots off at the mouth and says that, what they're really saying, it can't be because if it is, I'm in trouble. Versus saying, well, let's just see, you know, and it has, you know, coming from a law enforcement experience, I've been in the courtroom, you know, I was in the courtroom for years. And we just looked at the evidence. There's three phases of judgment of turning a nation over, according to Romans chapter one, you know, and quite often we're talking about the harvest of our own rebellion that brought a nation into a particular season instead of realizing their fault. You know, we what we did, which we accepted as normal, now produced that.
Right.
And so you got to listen to this. Is America under God's judgment? You know, and it's a legitimate, why not? I mean, what are you going to do? Watch some reality show tonight?
Exactly.
I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to just go, you know, play some digital game or whatever? You know, what do they call that? You know, games?
Yeah.
Sure not going to watch the Saints, though. Sure not going to do that.
Well, oh, you're talking about the football team?
Yeah, we're
not
doing
no,
that.
No. And so, but understand that it just go watch and listen and learn, because just like a courtroom, all is done is that we lay the evidence out. We just look at what is, and then we look at what God says about what is.
Yeah.
And then you, as a juror, can look back at the evidence presented, and you can say, well, no, we're not under that first phase of judgment, or yes, we are.
Which is so empowering, though, when you when you really get to take in that information and just what's happening in our generation, in our nation. It's just like so many people, and even myself for the longest period of time, had no idea. But when it was made known, it was just like, oh, my goodness. Now it's almost like you... It's
the
like
evidence
want,
speaks, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It's all stacked up.
Right.
It's like one piece of evidence and one another piece of evidence. It's like... I see a trend here.
People can see what the puzzle is going to look like until you put the pieces together. If God is telling you, you have to tell somebody precept upon precept based on what's happening and the word of God. And that's what's happening in this, you know, is America under judgment? Let's just look at it. Let's just ask the questions. Let's look at the evidence. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the evidence and then and see. And what you'll find out is we meet the evidence for the first phase of judgment where he says God turns his own people over. He turns us over to something. And so then we're like in the second phase of judgment.
Amen.
You know, it's a possible being turned over. And I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about final judgment. I'm not talking about destruction. I'm talking about discipline. Mm-hmm. And in the second level, you know, there's evidence being presented. We're just looking at our culture. We're looking at the church and our conditions that we're in. And in that, you know, we ask the question based on them looking at God's word, have we already been turned over to the second phase of judgment, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so often we're looking at what the judge has put as a sentence as the crime. And that's like, no. That's just the harvest of the crime.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got to back up a little bit and say, wait a minute, that's just our harvest.
That's right. Big humility, you know, like it's almost a weird chuckle there, but it's like, you know, the church has been so just, you can be so prideful to think, like you said, what judgment now? America, the blessed, God bless America?
It's
like,
right.
Come on, man. We got to be, we got to look in the mirror.
Right. Start with ourselves.
Look at the evidence without any biases. Mm. And see if the evidence speaks.
You know, and it's just everybody, you know, it just seems like the church just becomes sentence focused, like a judge giving a sentence versus the crime focus, which was where we violated God's law. And it's like, and so we have people walking up and down the streets with signs going, we hate our harvest. We hate our harvest. It's like, dude, don't you get it? That they're there because of what you did and the crime you violated against God. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do. You're yelling. And it's not going to, by the way, if that is the sentence, it's not going to help you to scream down the hallways of your prison. C-O is what they do. You go, you know, you have somebody in jail, they go, the correction officer. They just go, yeah. C-O. C-O. It's like, we need to pray for our corrections officers all day long. I think they serve more time than the inmates.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that, you know, we look at the second phase of judgment and then look at the evidence and let you as a juror look at the evidence and just you make a conclusion. And then finally, there's a third phase of judgment, you know, that where God turns over a people who violates this particular situation. And there's three phases of it. You got to listen to it. Come on, think about it. The very fact that you don't have the time to listen to God's truth is a very huge sign that we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. And then what happens all of a sudden, you know, one day we're sitting in the proverbial 6x6 cell, you know, with one channel, you know, to the prison channel.
Right.
You know,
and Bubba sitting next to us.
Right. Ooh. You know, I like what. Yeah. And yeah. And then that's right. Didn't think about that part. No, so what you say is I want to be in the big gathering. I want to be in the big, all the people
out
there.
Put me in the big pod.
Big pod. And so, John, you made me lose my train of thought here. You're talking about. You pictured yourself in the cell with Bubba.
You and Bubba. Third phase, God gives you over.
We'll go in there and he'll have like a bandana on who'll be cooking.
I don't know about that cooking part.
Like, oh, well, whatever Bubba says. No, the But you know, I mean, that you know, this is what T.D. Jakes said years ago, and it's so true. He said the reason why they give prisoners televisions in jail is to forget they're in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe if you turn your television off, you may find out that you're in prison. And it's like, oh my, I remember one scene from some of Pat's favorite movies, you know, something to do with Star Trek or something. But and it was like Batman or the Joker or I don't know, Bambi. What was the movie?
Greatest American
All
Hero.
Over the place.
It was
help me out here.
It's hard for my mind to go there because you think, if you believe this, it's just really, it's like the Joker, whatever the Joker is. Joker. Like they had a character named the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right? Joker, correct. Maybe? Maybe Batman. Not Joker. Batman, yes.
Batman and the Joker.
Batman, something. Anyway, because I was flipping channels and I saw it, And I think we passed through, and Pat was watching it. No, I was I saw it, and there were like a family was looking at this TV,
mm-hmm.
and it had like this green beam or something coming out from the TV.
Batman, yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm talking to the wrong person.
Yeah,
it's,
there you go.
It's yeah, Steven Kaluzuski. Yeah, yeah. And then it's like glowing. It's going, roo, roo, roo. And these family are getting mesmerized. And he's controlling everybody by what... It may not be the Joker. I don't know. Y'all have to help me
with
the characters.
It was one of the recent Batmans with...
It couldn't be recent.
The Riddler or something? Or the,
this had to be from 1812. It could
really?
Be. Oh, yeah. Believe me.
They just remake it over and over again.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Same thing? It's because Hollywood understands themselves.
The comic book.
That's right.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, there you go.
We sell those for $35,000 each. No, and so it's like growing, you know, and it's mesmerizing that family. And if they turned it off, they would lose the control over the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago when I was riding on patrol at nighttime, you know, as a law enforcement officer, you just drive around. Mm-hmm. You drive around and, you know, looking for possible crime. And everybody just goes into their houses. They run home. They speed going home in a hurry to get home to do nothing. I mean, nothing. It's like, where are you going? Well, I'm just going home. It's like, you're going 25 miles an hour with speed limit. I know. I was just in a hurry. For what? To go watch Batman? what are you in a hurry for?
To go watch their fantasy.
Yeah, to watch their fantasy. And so then everybody goes into all their little caves, you know, at the night. And for 10 years, you know, I watched and I was riding through the neighborhoods, and all of a sudden you see this glow coming out of people's houses. Mm-hmm. It's like, roo, roo, roo. They do nothing in their lives, nothing for God, mm-hmm. nothing. And they just go, roo. There's this glow, like some glow coming out of their home.
Right.
And they say, well, I'm just so busy. You don't have time to abide with God.
Watching reality TV.
Well, yeah, watching reality or whatever is glowing. And then they just glow. This was before reality, probably. But yeah, but it was just glowing.
Right.
And it's like, oh, this is like that movie. This is like Pat or Steve's movie. You know? this is like the movie. And it's like, it's real.
You get so caught up in other people's lives that you totally lose out on your own life.
Right. You don't even have one. Right. And so if you turn that off for a season, and it could scare you, because a lot of people cannot be silent. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they start getting silent, the demons they failed to deal with begin to deal with them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, turn the TV back on. Right?
It's eerie in here. I don't hear anything.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the most powerful moves of God that I've been in regards to constant outpouring of his presence, the one thing that you love the most is silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want anything. You just like quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so contented in the silence of God. And understanding that if we don't turn off our distractions, we may never know that we're in captivity.
Mm.
And that would be the goal of the adversary, is to take us into a place of captivity and not let us know until finally we're so locked down we can't even come out. I think we've raised a generation now that they don't even... When the shooting took place in Aurora... In the theater, and they're watching Batman.
Ah.
I thought it was part of the show.
But it was something like the title. Well, I don't know what was in the content, but the title was like Darkness, you know, something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're watching at midnight, the midnight hour,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Darkness, and professing Christians, you know, all that was in there as well. And Pat was on the front row. No, he wasn't there. And yeah, you're right. I think I saw a Saints shirt there. Zoom in and see if that's him. No, the
okay.
Yeah, right. No, that's not his shirt.
We know his shirt.
You're right.
Every wrinkle.
And so, right. But they didn't know this horrific. It's horrific what took place. It's horrific.
Right.
But they could not differentiate. It took them a long time to know whether if this is real. Is this really shots or is this part of the evil that we were watching, or is this part of the evil that we're living in?
Mm, right.
They couldn't differentiate. Was this person shooting at us the movie shooting at us, or was this a man shooting at us?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This person falling next to me, is that a person part of the movie scene? Because it was like the first opening day. Are they putting stuff up? Or was this actually the movie? Somebody, is this blood real next to me? It took a while for them to dawn on, you know, and that much time, it can be over. If it takes you that long to realize somebody has a gun in your face and it's a real gun, there's nothing bigger than the end of a barrel of a gun being pointed at you. You know, I know this from my law enforcement experiences. I mean, it may seem small from the side, but when you're looking at it, you can see the whole barrel, you know, looking at you. And, you know, your life weighs in the balance at that one moment, because if they pull the trigger, no matter whether it's friend or foe, you know, that it's over.
It gets real quick.
Yeah, it gets real, really quick.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you pause and think, and you're so caught up in fiction that you don't know, I mean, you've got to know.
Yeah.
You got to know. So I encourage you. I mean, just, you know, TD was saying that for a reason. He was saying that because it's true. If you don't, if you put people in prison and you don't give them some sort of distraction, they'll turn on each other. They'll turn on each other, and they'll just be really difficult and costly, and there'll be a lot of loss of lives.
Right.
Well, what's going to happen if the TVs go out and the electricity goes out for a little bit in America? What do you think is going to happen?
Remember?
What's that?
We saw it. It's Hurricane Ivan.
Yes.
When that power went out for 10 days.
Yes.
You saw mobs.
Yeah.
Mobs of teenagers that were normally all, you know, tuned into their TVs and their phones and iPods were walking and roaming the streets at night.
Trying to figure life out, because at that point they didn't know. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. And that was only 10 days.
Yeah.
That was only 10 days. You know, people got shot, you know, that were trying to break into places. And it was just really tragic. And so I encourage you right now, you know, practice, you know, 10 minutes a day, you know, turn off Batman. You know, just pause for a moment. That's why when we talk about an abiding plan with God, you know, and if you don't abide with God, you know, we got a plan for you to help you out and encourage you. It's at iabide.org. You go there and read a little bit, and you can request your own plan. Free, it comes to you instantly. That's why we talk about doing it with a pencil or a pen and a blank journal, your Bible and you, because you've got to learn how to be with God alone again. You have got to hear his voice, because it's not like it used to be, you know, prior to you know, the New Testament. You're going to have to know the shepherd's voice.
Right.
He said, they know my voice. There'll be a day that the Son of Man comes, and you will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and you shall live.
Yeah.
My sheep know my voice and follow none other. Listen, there's a lot of people right now. I don't know why. I kind of know why. I mean, it boils down to money. I mean, it boils down to paychecks. It boils down to, you know, the atheist that was being interviewed by Diane Sawyer, which you can see on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. He's leading, you know, what they refer to as a large gathering or a mega gathering, mega church of Christians.
Right.
Wow. But he says, you know, I'm an atheist. He says, I'm an atheist, and I can't tell them I'm an atheist. They have like a little black thing across his eyes. It's like, dude, they know who you are now. Hopefully they'll fire you.
We got your pig.
Hopefully they'll fire you, you know.
Right.
And but in that, you know, he was saying, this is the only trade I know. Well, ministry's not a trade.
Exactly.
Ministry's not a trade. This is not ministry's, you know, that was the Church of England. That was a trade. You know, you would get on with the Church of England, which the king or the queen was over, and you'd work for them, you know. That's but true ministry, you know, is a servant and that walks in obedience to the master and to our shepherd. And, you know, start, you know, abiding with him alone.
Right.
Abiding with the Lord alone. You, God, your Bible, a blank journal, a pen, and go to iabide.org and look at some simple, simple things that even 8-year-olds are able to do it and hear the voice of God and get used to hearing his voice. You want to hear his voice on this side of what's about to happen.
Amen.
Because you're going to hear a whole bunch of voices on the other side. And it doesn't, you know, the devil doesn't go away when things get bad. He cranks it up. You know, liars don't get quiet when things get bad. Liars crank it up.
When you think about all that's going on right now, of all the people who are trying to have a relationship with whoever, whatever, whatever's going on, and what better person to have a relationship with than Jesus Christ?
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean,
think about that, you know, Jesus said himself, you know, man should not eat and live up by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. If there's ever a time to be living out of the words of God and what God has said, now is the time.
And he tells us, he says, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can only have a lower level of heaven. Is that what he says?
No.
He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Most everybody but the 12 disciples left him. I mean, he had a huge crowd at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, this is a difficult teaching because they were all looking at things in the natural. They're thinking like, I am not going to take a bite out of Jesus. Mm. You know, I am not going to drink his blood. I mean, that's the biggest offense to a Jew because you did not, blood was the one thing you did that you didn't mess with.
Right.
But he wasn't talking about, his words that he was speaking were not flesh. They were not about flesh and blood. They were spiritual. And you spend time with God, abiding with God alone. And he, when you do this, just like Ezekiel chapter 2, that his spirit comes inside of you to the point where all of a sudden you begin to have this encounter and God speaks to you and lifts you up and gives you direction. Your call will come when you're alone with God. You know, it won't come in this public place, you know, where men are telling you. I mean, it'll come when in your encouragement and your enthusiasm, your inspiration, the food that's going to give you strength, the manna that's going to carry you is what you get, your daily bread that you get from God in your abiding relationship. I encourage
your daily
you.
Bread. Yeah, your fresh bread.
Yeah,
not what someone else read in the little book, and not what someone posted on online, and you know that's good. I look at the disciples when they were looking for where's Jesus? Where he was seeking the Father up early. You know, you gotta seek him.
Right, and so after this break, I want Steve to be able to share about an abiding experience that he had, but the understanding that. You know, abiding with God on this side is important because you're going to get used to hearing his voice. Hopefully we'll make available on VFN TV the voice of God. Because it's just talking about how to hear God's voice, personal experiences that we have had as we've heard God's voice. And as a matter of fact, I know that some of you guys have gone to VFN TV and you've seen, you know, these great prophetic words and teachings and things there, and there wasn't any description down for each of them, but they're coming probably this week. They're coming, and you can you need something to differentiate between them, but we're moving so quickly we're not having a lot of time to do this, but probably this week you can go and see the descriptions of what's on there, so you know which one you're going to do first and listen to and eat and taste and see the Lord is good. But the voice of the Lord, I mean, we're here right now because we've heard the voice of the Lord. We just obeyed here. Obey. You know, my spiritual father, Brother Ken, he said, what did you do? What was your secret? He says, I heard and I obeyed. You know, many say, I heard and I delayed. But the ones who stand out and the ones that are bringing a fragrance to the Lord are the ones who hear and obey. Not hear and delay.
Right. Wow.
Which one are you? We'll be right back.
You know, John, it's amazing how many spectator sports there are right now. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's TV shows or, you know, TV sports, a lot of it's spectator sport, you know. But the truth is that the church is not a spectator sport. You know, God wants you to be involved. God wants you to play your part. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you have not yet, you can ask Jesus Christ to come in your life. And if you have asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, you know, there's an integral part that God wants you to play. God does not want you to remain on the sidelines. He doesn't want you to be a spectator. He wants you to play your part that only you yourself can bring to pass. If that's you and you want to find out more, I encourage you to go to vfnu.org and find out the plan that God has for you. Find out more of what you can do to bring that to pass in your life. VFNU.org.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? you can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be. Well, Pat, I got to ask you, man. I got to tell you, I've been watching these Olympics, man. I a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, catching
really?
Some
How
glimpse.
Do you have time for that?
just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. You know, listen, they have an app for everything. You know, just catch it on the app. Catch it on the fly,
I know.
Well, I'm really inspired. You know, I hear that Michael Phelps now is the most decorated gold medalist now, or medalist, should I say. Uh-huh. And so pretty interesting. Michael Phelps, and I heard the women's gymnastics team took the gold. I think this is the first time. Yeah.
Very good. It's been a while, isn't it?
Yes, first time since, I think, 1996. So they're doing good. Wow. But I tell you, you look at these athletes, you look at the training, you look at their bodies, Pat, not like ours, are in the top, you know, tip-top shape. You know what I mean? They're cut.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, okay, never mind. they're in top shape. Yeah, you know, so they're inspiring me. I said, you know, maybe I need to work out some, you know, maybe I need to, you know, get some of those ripped abs like Michael Phelps there. And I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. And then I thought about that work. And I said, you know, there's got to be, Pat, an easier way to do this. Okay, there's got to be a way how we can get ripped. Right. All right. Uh-huh. And so I just happened to find a little ad here, if you will, mm-hmm. that they're selling, they're offering this thing called Ab Hanser. Uh-huh. Now listen here, okay? This thing here is a lightweight frame, okay? Mm-hmm. It has adjustable straps, all right? Uh-huh. So it can fit even the roundest of us, okay?
Okay.
It fits beneath the clothing. I want you to think of this. Think of it like a grill, if you will, a metal grill that has the outline of a six pack.
Oh, it like fits under your clothes?
Absolutely.
Like then a girdle.
Now you're talking, brother.
Oh,
all right?
My goodness.
And you put the strap on nice and tight, kind of wear it for, you know, 24 hours. You can't move or
anything.
Oh,
my goodness.
But after that, you'll have an imprinted six-pack, man. And I'll tell you what, you and I can go a long way with that.
Oh, my. Okay.
I was thinking about you, man. I was thinking about you.
Really?
Six packs, you know, six pack in a few minutes, right, you know, or a few hours. But I think we'll put that on the torch. I actually have a picture of that. It is hilarious when I saw
it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the guy sitting down watching TV while he's, you know, he's training his six pack, his cuts there.
Oh my goodness! Welcome back to VFN Radio, where John is seeking ripped abs. Also joining us here in the first hour is Pat Hamilton, John Ramos, and Steve Kalaszewski. Well, so now, how is it working for you, John?
Well, I was wondering if you could let me know how it was working for Pat. You know,
I've got abs. I just have them well protected, you know.
Are they well protected? There's padding around them?
There's, yes, exactly right, man. I think, you know, that they're so ripped that I thought, you know, I need a good, you know, 4 or 5 foot of protection around them bubbies.
Don't want them to get any hurt.
Yeah.
This grill thing is nice, man. You got to check it out, you know, underneath your clothes and abs in a few minutes.
So, John, are you wearing a girdle?
No, I'm checking this out. I was really more concerned about my brother, you know, Pat, because, you know, I know he's, you know.
Yes.
I want you to make sure you had it, you know. I'm looking out for you, man. I'm looking out for you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, you got it.
Oh, you want me to say something? I was going to let it fall, boom, kaboom.
He wants one too. We will do what we can and get you.
You know, Steve. Steve is on. I mean, Steve's looking at us right now.
7 pounds already.
Oh yeah. You know, please pray for me. I need to lose 13 more. 13 more before I go see my doctor.
That's like another week, right?
I don't know. You never know. The first week sometimes grab a hold of you and just go, you know, encourage you. And the next week it's like, oh, I'm going to go away again. It's like, oh, my God. What happened?
You had to do it.
I ate air today. How did that happen? What happened? It was the hurricane. Hurricane Ivan. Yeah. The pressure system pressed down on me on the scale. I do want to say to those that are experiencing, you know, Hurricane Isaac right now, that our prayers are with you, and that we just thank God that it just weakened out. Mm. You know, I think by the time it hit about 80 miles an hour. And you know, go to the VFN Torch and look at, you know, a shot fired across the bow of America.
Mm.
That Isaac means laughter, and everybody's looking, just like you can find out when you go to VFN TV and you watch. For God does speak. Mm-hmm. When you watch that, you'll hear very specifically that God is warning us, mm-hmm. you know, about what's to take place. And if we don't listen to God, he doesn't go, oh, my goodness. Things just start happening to us. And he says in Proverbs 1, and you can read this on the Torch, he says that he'll laugh at our destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Or at our, not destruction. At our disaster. Yeah, I always say that, but it's disaster. In other words,
right.
And he even talks about a whirlwind coming in. And so this was like a warning shot for mm-hmm. what's about to happen. I mean, earthquakes. It's rattling so much it's going to shake your teeth. I mean, literally maybe the southwestern United States being cut off from water supply and mm-hmm. going for a particular time, a period of time. Economies that we know, the stock market, somebody standing and reporting in front of the stock market and saying it's going to fall in 6 minutes. We're talking about a threat.
Right.
A specific threat by somebody outside this country on the president of the United States and more. You've got to go to VFN TV right now and watch For God Does Speak. That's Job 33. This is what God says. He does speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so many people said that he doesn't speak anymore. Now, he speaks. They're just concerned he's going to say something and change their plans. God, right. Change our plans. Do whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want
to
do.
On the earth. So you've mm-hmm. got to see that. I want to, before Steve shares, I want to give you guys some news here. I'm excited about Jackery and Amy Shepard will be coming back to America next month.
Oh, my goodness. Praise God.
When? Next month?
Yeah, next month, man. North Carolina. Jackery, we are so excited.
Very
Amy,
excited.
We're so excited for you to be able to come back to the States again. You've been a faithful, you know, brother in the Lord and just fighting for us and defending us, you know, as a Marine. And we're just thankful for you and your family's sacrifice. But we're ready to have you back.
We're ready
to have you back, and that's enough. Come home, you know.
Yeah,
and you know, we're just excited. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, very exciting. I mean,
that's very, very exciting.
Miss you, man.
You know, we were just speaking about abiding, you know, and how important it is to hear the voice of the Lord. That He says, "My sheep know my voice and follow
mm-hmm.
none other." We follow, but we follow none other. The reason why the church hangs out together is because they're hearing the same voice. Not because there's the same organization. The reason why we come together and we say amen is because every one of us heard the voice of the Lord, or supposed to have heard
the voice of God.
Supposed to have heard the voice of the Lord. And when we hear them say what we heard, we say amen, which means I agree with that. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what brings us together is that we serve and follow our shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. If only thing that holds you together is the sign on the outside of the place that you gather and not the voice of God, it's not going to be good for what's about to come up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but if what's inside of that is the voice of the Lord and you guys are hanging because you hear the voice of the Lord, you're going to be safe. I mean, God's going to lead you and he's going to direct you.
That's right.
But what brings us together is what we have in common with each other. Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we want you to know that religion's not the answer,
mm-hmm.
that organization's not the answer, you know, that hearing God's voice, it's not for just a man to hear God's voice and tell you, you know, when you're a babe in the Lord and you just become a brand new believer, I mean, that's normal. It's just like a parent raising a child. It's a spiritual sure. parent, really, mm-hmm. raising a child. But there comes a day when you've got to feed yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be a young man or a young woman in the Lord.
Right.
You know, that you can feed yourself, that you spend time with God, you abide with God, and you're, you know, this is not based on age in itself. It's the fact is how long you're going to spend with God and allow him to transform you. Mm. And the third aspect of growing up is being a spiritual mother and father in the Lord, that not only can you feed yourself, but you feed others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, but it's about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. It's about eating the things of God. You know, it's about eating the whole world, the whole word, that even God was telling Ezekiel, you need to eat everything that I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, eat the whole thing. And speaking of that, you know, Steve, you were talking to me about you were spending some time with the Lord, and he spoke to you and your abiding time. And I want to hear it, man. I want to hear that.
Well, I think about, you know, what God's been laying on our heart and, you know, what he's been revealing to us in 2 Kings and talking about, you know, Jehoiakim and you know.
Well, Jehoiakim is like Josiah's son.
Right.
King Josiah's son, and that kind of building that whole, you know, what you're about to talk about is that he was a king that heard God's word and did what was right before God. And then God took him on, but now his sons were left and his son was Jehoiakim.
Right. And which is what we've been learning about everything that's going on in our present nation right now. And
well, they don't know. They probably don't know about that. So we want to be able to put the context of
that. Okay, I got you.
Jehoiakim Josiah. Josiah was a king that when he did what was right before the Lord. And then when he went to go be with the Lord, his first son started taking over being king. Mm-hmm. And it lasted about 3 months, and he tried to build a partnership with Egypt. And then the second king, this other brother, got put in place by Egypt. And they changed his name to Jehoiakim, which means God's set man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can find out about this on VFN TV for more details on that. But it's very specific because it has to do also with God speaking right now. You can hear that for God does speak. But Jehoiakim means God's set man. Then he was replaced by God is just,
right,
was Zedekiah,
right,
and they named him Zedekiah. The world named him Zedekiah, and he took God's people into Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a progression there, and so that's what we've been talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can find out about this on VFN TV. You need to hear it because this is where we are. I truly believe. I don't know if Egypt put our president in place or our president put Egypt in place, but either way, they're in partnership. Islam's in partnership. And it's just exactly history repeating itself that you're going to talk about. But go ahead.
Exactly. And continuing on in that, you know, really digesting and chewing and just focusing on what God has been making known to us, it was just like history is repeating itself. And when you look back in the Word and what Greg was just sharing about, if you want to read more about Josiah and Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, that's in 2 Kings. And you can read through that. And when God was just speaking to me, it's just like, this is going on right now in our present nation, in our present generation today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my goodness. If this is happening, you know, what happened afterwards in that situation? And I had heard many times before that you've heard people say that if we can look far enough back in history, we can see our future.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading back through 2 Kings in my abiding time, God stopped me in 2 Kings 25:9, and
those are numbers. What does that mean? for us people out here who don't work on numbers,
it's the second chapter of the book of Kings. It's
and
the
Kings is like the Bible.
I'm sorry, Bible? Right? It's in the Holy Bible. It's in the second book of Kings, chapter 25, verse 9.
Oh, okay.
And he says, "This is the word of God." He says, he set fire, and he's talking about Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was the king that came after Jehoiakim.
So this is, and his name means God is just.
Correct.
And the one before him was God's set man.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about God is just, Zedekiah, who Egypt put in place.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And it says, this is continuing on in verse 9, he says, he set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal place, and all the houses of Jerusalem.
Hold on a minute. So when God begins to bring judgment, then he allows the world or Egypt. I mean, this is literally Egypt doing this. Is, you know, you got to understand.
Right.
We don't need much theory here because Egypt is the first international speech of President Barack Obama was in Cairo, Egypt, where he says, "I consider it my responsibility as the President of the United States to defend." Mm-hmm. You know, Islam from any stereotypes, anywhere it is in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then not only that, but they fixed it to give 3 days to Islam in the Democratic National Convention. Mm. I mean, we were on the, it's like, do we have time to respond? I mean, this is like, but we may, because there's been plenty of times when the enemy was buffeting against God's people and it was a definite, but then we heard the Lord, we heard the prophet, we heard him responded to what God said, and we can turn. That's why we're talking to you here.
Right.
But what he's about to say, and what he's saying is, do you really think presently what we have with the First Amendment is going to stand? Do you think your houses of worship are going to stand? Do you think that the enemy's not going to come in and begin to destroy the very thing? And he said, well, we're God's people. We're talking about Israel here.
Right.
We're talking about abortions happening rampant across the land. We're talking about innocent blood shed. I don't know. It was like 3 an hour in every single county of the country. I mean, every single hour offerings to Moloch. I mean, come on. You
not
know?
Good.
And so, I mean, listen to this. Listen to this. Go ahead.
So, continuing on in verse 9, he says, the royal place, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. And he says, every important building he burned down. Every important building. And that just caught my heart, caught my spirit. And I just, my God, what are you saying to me right now? What are you saying to me about this? And he was sharing with me, and he said to me, he said, every important building in the natural will be abandoned, burned, and destroyed, so that every important building in the kingdom would thrive and grow. There will be complete devastation, not just in America, but in my creation. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will thrive and prosper. My church will answer the call. This is the bride that I am preparing. And if this wasn't something that you were aware of, is that the bride is the church, the bride of Christ. God is setting up a wedding. God is setting up the most powerful, the most joyful, the most just pinnacle moment of celebration when the bride and Christ come together. You know, in Revelation 19:7, he says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready.
So that's us.
That's us.
And she's dressed
with
white robes, which are her deeds.
Yes.
Not some, you know, altar situation where we got dressed up. It's actually what we did for him.
Exactly.
Is what we're clothed. I mean, some people may walk around with this thick, you know, robe on them, and some people may look like Tarzan. You know, they did a little bit for God. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be dressed by the righteous deeds of the saints. That's what we were clothed with, right?
Right.
And think about it. Is that something?
Exactly. Yeah, and as I was writing this down in my binding time, I was just getting just a download of all of this preparation and all of everything that God's setting up. And he continued on, like, when I was thinking about the different verses that were coming to me, and like in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. This is the church now. This is the church. This is the people who say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, Jesus. And as I was just writing down in my abiding time, it's like you think about a dad, a father who has nothing but good things for his son. And he has set up the most beautiful bride. And I think about the many people who have welcomed me into their home, and they still have a picture of their wedding day. And the bride is beautifully dressed. In the pinnacle moment of her beauty, when she's prepared for her husband that she wants to spend the rest of her life with. And it was just like, this is a father preparing a bride for his son. Not just any son, not just any bride, but this is Jesus to spend time with together for eternity in heaven. And God continued to tell me, he says, this is my son's bride. You are the bride. My church is the bride, for she will be ready. He said, beauty is of the heart, right? Well, the heart of my bride is being prepared.
Mm.
I see my bride in her perfect state before she has even got there. It is my preparation that is upon her and around her. She will answer the call. Have hope in knowing that nothing is done apart from my hand, because we've heard to say that, the church is sleeping, But when she awakes, she is a sleeping giant.
Yes.
And we are going to turn this nation for Christ. We are going to turn this nation for Jesus. And a third great awakening is going to come in the name of Jesus. And God continued to say, he says, I have set the stage. I have set the time. I have set the dragon. I have set the bride. And I have set my son. This is the last act. This is for my glory. And you are a part of this. You have a plan. You have a part to play. And God has called you to this wedding day.
That's so it's such a now word, but that's exactly, you know, what the Lord is doing. Mm. That's a progression of this whole thing, is that, you know, there's going to be a shaking to what's not real is going to fall, right, and what is real is going to stand.
Yeah.
That everything's going to be tested by fire. I mean, everything's going to be tested by fire. Mm. And what's of God will stand, but everything that's hay, wood, stubble, stucco, stone, wood, that's not Jesus.
Right.
That's just places that we got.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to stand, but the church will stand victorious.
Amen.
I mean, the church will stand. The most powerful of the church, I mean, you think about it, I mean, here's Jesus walking down the street of Jerusalem, and people were in their buildings thinking that they had it and didn't realize he was it, and they didn't have him because he was out there, and that they could have had more of God if they would have stepped out of what they thought they had to be able to step in where God was, because Jesus was passing by. He said, listen, it'll be better on the days days of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for what? Chorazin, because that's the miracles, if they were done, what God is doing and what he did in and if we would have done that in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have actually turned to God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the things that God has done for America, and we don't think, it doesn't even cross our mind that we could be, you know, up there with Chorazin.
That's right.
That we're living the richest nation ever in the history of the world. Right. I mean, we have everything.
Wealth. You know, you hear it all the time. It says, you know, God bless America. Let me tell you something. It's time for America to bless God. The poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European.
Right.
Yeah.
We're a blessed nation.
Yeah.
And it's just such a now word. You're right. And it's like, you know, you look at the time where Jesus was ministering, and it was anyone that took on a religious posture, always the Pharisees that missed Jesus. He was there. Yeah. He was ministering. He was there.
Well, not only that, they called him Satan.
Right.
Imagine that. This is the religious folks at the time. They were supposed to know God.
Because they were jealous.
Mm-hmm. And John, just like you said, as far as, you know, we continue to hear repeatedly, God bless America. And the thing is, though, we have turned away from God and turned it to the blessing.
Yeah.
And we've become blinded by the blessing, and now we come to expect the blessing.
Mm. But they were jealous.
Right.
John, they were jealous because they were scared they were going to lose their kingdoms.
Mm.
They were fearful that more people were going to follow Jesus than were following them, and they didn't realize we were all supposed to be following Jesus.
Isn't that the point? You know what I mean? What happened when you're looking to get more people to follow you on Facebook to follow on Jesus? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, we're trying to build Jesus' likes here. You know what I'm saying? Not our likes.
Good. Talk about that, you know, when you said, you know, if Jesus had a Facebook, was that you know,
yeah, I need to get this clip.
Just share, share it.
Yeah, well, think about it. You know, Jesus at one point, everyone loves to bless me, Jesus. They get me out of hell. You know, I like that. That's good. You're going to bless me. Okay, I'll take that. You know, healing. Yep. I can use that. That's cool. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you. And if Jesus had a Facebook page, you know, they'd be clicking like. I'm with this guy. This is good.
Yeah.
But you mentioned earlier. Huh?
Healing, signs, wonders, miracles.
Yeah, signs, wonders, miracles, you know.
He loves me.
Oh.
That's a good like right there, right?
He loves me. Yeah. I need unconditional love.
Like. You know, can you like him more than once, right?
Oh, yeah. Triple like. You know, and so his Facebook page would be just blown up with tons of likes. But then he goes to the point where Jesus says, and we mentioned earlier in today's program, where he talks to the disciples and he has all of them around. Says, you know, would you drink my blood, eat my flesh. He comes to the deeper teachings of Jesus. Mm. You know, Jesus
the real
comes
deal.
To be, yeah, the real deal. He's, you know.
And it's not like a deeper teaching. It's just like, okay, now here we're here. You came here because of what I can do for you, but now let me tell you how to come on in now.
Exactly. And it's not just about making Jesus Savior. It's about making Jesus Lord.
Right,
you know, we preach a gospel, a no lordship gospel that's been preached that tries to separate the fact that Jesus is the Savior, but don't be the Lord now. Don't be the boss of my life. Don't. Are you telling what? Right. There's ways for me to live. I just wanted the blessing. I just wanted to get me out of hell part. I just wanted the blessing on my kids and my marriage and my finances. I don't know if I wanted to do the Lord stuff.
Right.
You could imagine at that point was unlike. It's probably, you know, how
he was down to 12 at that point. I mean, he had everybody was following him, you know, at that point. And when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood,
they left him.
You know, they didn't want to be associated with God.
Mm.
Emmanuel, God in the flesh. They didn't want to be associated with. And so many people are thinking they're measuring, you know, the effectiveness and the accurateness of God and his word based on a crowd, based on likes, you know, based on. You know, do people still walk with me when my message? And the thing is like the question is, do you still walk with God with your message?
Right. Religion's about measuring, pulling out rulers, and trying to figure out. It's like, give me a break.
Because you only have an audience of one. I mean, you're going to answer alone before God. There's no witnesses that you can say, hey, call these guys in because they're going to tell you the reason why I didn't fully obey you and the reason why I changed your message and. And the reason, you know, and then there's no suspects. So they're going to, you can come in and say, well, this is who I can blame for my sin. You know, I mean, there's no witness or suspects. You stand alone before God. You got to shake yourself, America, American, one person. You got to understand yourself that you understand how things are. You're going to stand alone. You're not going to have your congregation with you. You're not going to have your pastor standing beside you. You're not going to have your husband or your wife or your child or your parent or your friend or your. I mean, it's going to be you all by yourself, and you're going to give account for your life. And there's a gospel being preached that says, I'm going to just say Jesus' blood. And he's going to go, well, you know, I'm going to talk about your deeds, you know, faith without works is dead. Your dead faith. Your dead faith didn't do it for you, because if you truly would have had faith, you would have. It's works don't save you, but they prove that you are.
That's right. So the many in the last day will say, you know, did we not?
I know.
We're going to prophesy in your name. We do all this stuff in your name.
Cast out demons, man.
Cast out demons. Surely
did you not
God
see my deliverance ministry? Yeah, I had a deliverance ministry. I was very busy because I delivered and they came back and they needed to be delivering again. And it was like I had continual clients, you know, just on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I let them loose and they bring them back.
Ken Summerall, you know, Brother Ken, he said, you know, in the 70s when... we're getting a refreshing, you know, of the deliverance ministry and all that, they would, you know, the devil's got to listen to the name of Jesus. I mean, even people that don't know Jesus, you know, when the power of the name of Jesus, you know, people can get delivered because you just said was, you know, many people are going to come to the last day and say, didn't I do this? And it was the name of Jesus that did it. It wasn't you. But he found out that as soon as they left where they were gathering at, it was like demons jumped out behind the bushes and jumped right back on them again, because it's empty houses and open doors. Hopefully we'll make that available one day to you and VFN TV. You just need to get, you know, if you're not getting fed, find you a VFN fellowship and just get fed, you know, instead of piecemealing this thing through VFN TV. Dive into the family, get involved, go to VFN family.org and just get the truth. Get the truth. I want to say this before we close. Is understanding this in this first hour, and we're going to go into this extra hour, is that a jealous spirit is a murdering spirit. It's a murdering spirit. And so when we talk about jealousy, it's not some minor thing. I mean, it's what put Jesus on the cross. It's what got the whole city stirred up against Jesus and against Paul, was a jealous spirit. And so this is a serious thing. I mean, and somebody who's jealous doesn't say they're jealous of you. They just kill you, you know, because they're taken captive by the adversary to be able to do his will. And so you have to pay attention, you know, and be wise, you know, wise as serpents, but gentle as doves, because God's sending us out amongst wolves. And he says, watch out for men, right?
Yes.
And watch out for men. So we're coming to the end now of the first hour. That was an awesome word that you shared with us, Steve.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to you guys join us in the extra hour. Don't forget to meet us on the other side. But those that are leaving us, don't forget you can listen to the second hour, the extra hour, on your VFN TV app or on VFNTV.com. So many ways you can listen to us. And don't forget to catch the highlights at the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. God bless, and we will see you on the other side.